This is the battle that, you know, our ancestors and us and our future generation are going to continue to battle.
Welcome back to the Society Says podcast, everyone. I am here with another guest today, and this is really awesome because he reached out to me, which I think is, that's always very flattering when people reach out to me and I don't have to go hunting for people to come on this podcast. But I'm joined here today with actually two people, my husband and Javier. Javier, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yes. So my name is Javier. I'm definitely based in LA. So my Instagram username definitely goes by the Prince of LA.
Yep. That's how I, that's honestly all I've known your name as up until now.
That's all right.
So, I'm really excited for today because you just seem very passionate about talking about issues in society. So I feel like it's going to be a really good podcast for everybody that's listening today. So I know that one thing that you would really like to talk about today is the Roe versus Wade, court issue, however you phrase that correctly. So I'm going to go ahead and let you kind of kick off with that. If you can kind of talk about that case and like just what people need to know, like background information.
Yes, of course. So the Roe v. Wade case, if I'm going to speak into the Roe v. Wade case, I'm going to bring up the Casey versus Planned Parenthood case. So basically in January 22nd, 1973, abortion was made legal in all 50 states, which was broken down into three parts. The first trimester, where the state has absolutely no regulation over a woman's body. And the second trimester, where the state can get involved and to protect the health of a pregnant woman. And the third trimester, where it becomes a viability for protecting potential life. So with that case, I ruled 7-1 for a pro-abortion. So ever since then, that's been the case. And after that, there was another case called Casey versus the Planned Parenthood case, which made unburdened regulations be terminated. So it was more, it gave more free access to women to go about their case without having to report themselves to like a spouse or to get consent. You know, it kind of gave them more options to liberty.
Yeah. So if I'm correct, yeah, Planned Parenthood is like the way that I knew it growing up, it's like the place where like teenagers could go if they didn't want their parents to find out about something. So it's like very confidential, right?
Yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah, definitely in school programs, Planned Parenthood is just basically sex education where people can go and learn like about the reality of life, you know, and I'll get more information on reproductive information and how they can get help if they were to need any assistance.
Okay, that's smart. I like that.
So everyone that's listening right now, I just got to paint this scene for you because it's pretty dope. So Starry and I are sitting here and we're in a living or in our office area. We got a mic in front of us and we got this laptop that's projected. And on the other side is Javier. But you should see this guy. Like, he's so passionate about this topic and he's just ready to go. He's got like his pen in his hand and like he's got all the notes and stuff. Like, I seriously don't think that Starry has worked with like many people that have like notepad and paper that like, you know.
You know what's crazy? What's actually that? I recorded an episode right before this and it was the girl that I was interviewing on here, she had a notepad.
Really?
But like no one before that, so it's only been today, the two episodes.
So today's the day, it looks like. But no, I think overall, like, your excitement, your passion, and like the topics that you chose, this is just one of the topics that he chose, but it's cool to see that, like, you know, how you're a guy, right? And like, it's normally you don't see guys like getting ready to speak about topics like this. They kind of like look past it, look over it. But it's dope because here you are and you're a guy and you're just like, you know, you're all excited about this topic particularly. And you're just like, you know, you, this is something that out of everything that you could have chose from to speak about, you chose this, you know. So tell me more about why this topic strikes you directly. I don't know if I cut some questions off there, but.
No, yes, of course. So definitely I want to make that clear. Like, yes, I'm not someone who is able to like reproduce, right? So it's like, it almost sounds like what do I have to say about it? So I definitely see myself as an ally in this case. You know, I want to extend the voice of those being oppressed, because that's I feel like that's who I characterize myself, is I'm an anti-oppression in all fronts. And, you know, to spread liberty and freedom and peace and love is, you know, that's where I come from, is like who I want to be. So when I feel like there's a level of oppression in any type of way, I'm going to become an advocate and a helper towards people who really need it.
So what sparked that? Like, where is this superhero, for lack of a better term, like this person that's willing to jump at any anyone being oppressed or anything like that? Like, where does this all stem from? Is it the way your mom raised you to be, or your dad raised you to be? Is it something that you developed while growing up, or did you have a close friend that was like, you know, bullied or anything that caused you to step in? Like, where is this coming from?
I felt like it kind of started within me, actually, to be honest. It's just kind of a point of view that I decided to take. Definitely when the terms came out, pro-life versus pro-choice, I went into it deeply. I'm a very deep thinker. And then, you know, I have my own beliefs as everyone else does. And if I went into like strictly into the definition of what pro-choice means, it means regardless of my belief, and I understand that I'm unable to put my beliefs onto someone else and like give them that liberty of choice.
Yeah.
Dang, well, I think it's so cool, you know, me being the girl in the room right now. I just think it's cool that you're just so aware of anything, whether it has to do with like who you are, you know. Like, I just think it's cool, like, this, like, abortion doesn't really affect you, you know, unless like you were like close to someone who had to go through a decision like that. But the fact that like you're willing to look more into it. So I do have a question though. How do you feel about the outcome of the case? Like, what is your view on it?
Yes. Okay, so I'm very happy with the outcome. However, it's a battle that's hasn't ended. You know, there's currently about 10, 11 states who already have ban restrictions on abortion as soon as this case is ever overturned. So there's still like an opposing side to it. You know, abortion is still currently legal. And of course, you know, it's giving people the liberty to make that choice over their body. And I want to, you know, allow people to have choices. For sure, I have a look at my notes here. definitely, I have this idea that, if you believe it or not, I believe abortion actually saves lives, because, you know, women for a long time have had these issues where if this was restricted to them, it's not going to end in there. You know, people are going to find different ways and manners, and it could risk their own life. So, you know, it's just a progressive idea that we're moving on to. Definitely, I'm all for sharing that.
Yeah. Abortion is such a interesting topic that me and Angel have just like occasionally touched on, just like if it's been brought up and we're like, oh, like, what do you think about it? Neither one of us, like, well, I don't know if you've changed your mind since we've talked, but I feel so like I don't really have an opinion, because I'm like still processing everything. You know what I mean? Like, I understand both sides, and it's a really tough thing to figure out, like, what is quote unquote right and what is quote unquote wrong. Like, I don't really think either one is right or wrong. Like, it's such a hard choice for a woman to have to make. Like, if they can't like afford to have a kid, or they can't find like a healthy home for them, like, that's like, you don't want that kid to grow up in such like a horrible abusive environment because of that. So I would never want to have that decision, because I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, I totally agree with what you're saying. Like, it almost sounds like you don't want to put blame on either side, because you're open to viewing both sides. And I see myself in that same position. I love the idea of life, right? I'm all about life. Life is so beautiful. That's who I am. That's what I spread, love and peace. But I'm not. But then when you start listening to the opposing side, where we're like putting our beliefs onto someone else, you know, that's kind of, it just becomes an oppression. So definitely I'm all like about God and Jesus and love and life, but I'm not gonna force down someone else's choice and make that choice for them. You know, it's definitely controversial. Definitely. I see it. And it's very hard topic to talk about. And I'm gonna be honest, like, just a couple minutes ago when I was prepping for this, like, I felt like a lot of nerves coming over me, because I just, like, you know, this topic, sometimes they're difficult to speak on it, and I felt like that's the reason I want to speak on them, because they're just topics that need to be spoken about just so we can progress in our mental capability, that there's more than just one opinion out there, and we want to be open-minded to everybody.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's one of those topics that people hesitate to state their opinion, because, you know, I don't think that anybody who's like pro-abortion, I don't ever think that they are like, they're not pro-life, you know? Like, I definitely, I don't think that that's what the case is. Like, I just think that people are pro-choice, and that's what it is. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I can't imagine people are jumping with joy to go and get an abortion. I don't think that their decision to get an abortion is something where they are excited about it and, you know, wanting to do it over and over again. So it's not like, I don't necessarily feel like these people that are getting abortions are, you know, they want to take the lives of their children. I feel like circumstances lead them to that. And you said you are, you know, you believe in God and Jesus. And one of the things that's taught in the scriptures, it's, you know, don't be the first to cast the stone. Like, no one can cast a stone, because we all have things in our own life that we struggle with, right? And I think a lot of the people that are, you know, saying, oh, we need to stop, you know, abortions from happening, I feel like a lot of them have a lot of crazier things that they're doing in their life, that I think they need to focus on that more than focusing on other people's choice. And it's like what you said, like, if they don't do it, if it's not legal, they're going to find another way to do it. And some of the other ways are really sad. Like, back in the days, girls used to take the metal hangers and shove it up their insides and trying to kill the kid, you know, and in the process, they're almost about to take their own life by doing it. There's a story that my friend shared. His mom, not my friend's mom, but the guy that he was talking to, his mom was trying to kill him as a kid, well, as a, you know, fetus. And what happens, it was too late in the process. So when she stabbed him with the coat hanger and like try and pull him out, she like ripped one of his leg off and twisted his arm trying to get him out. And because of that decision, now he is left living with as a cripple for life, you know? And it's just like, I'm not saying that him being alive is a good or bad thing. I'm just saying that, like, if she could have just gone in confidentiality and get the procedure, you know, she wouldn't have caused his life to be so screwed up, or she wouldn't have, you know, merely taken her own life in the process. So there's a lot on both sides, mm-hmm. you know.
Definitely. So yeah. What do you think, like, the future holds with this topic? Because it's obviously, like, evolved along the ways. So, and obviously there's, like, a lot of peaceful protests still that go on for this topic. And, you know, it's just, it's always there. So do you have, like, any predictions of what will happen?
I'm currently just predicting that it's going to get updated because, you know, there's legal language is used in a very specific way to where it can change any time. Like, you know, currently, yes, abortion is legal, but only up to certain states. Like, once life is viable, it's the state will get involved to protect potential life. So that's currently within the case. So it's like, now you can't, like, just abort almost a 9-month baby. You can't do that. The state will protect life at that point. So definitely there's a lot of new language coming out currently, like, in every state can change their policies and their laws regardless of what the federal law is already stated. So there are definitely new rules are coming in, new policies to you know, have more restrictions or more of a process to get an abortion. So, like, definitely I do see change coming, but you know, I'm not against the change. I'm just not for 100% banning it, because, like it said, like, you know, we have to be open-minded to everybody in the society, not just our own.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings up a good question and good point. At what stage do you think it's not okay anymore? Like,
so the court broke it down to 3 parts every trimester. So the first trimester, if there's no heartbeat yet, it's just like a buildup of cells, and so right there the state said that they will not interfere with that choice at that point. Once it hits the second trimester where there's a heartbeat, you know, there's a liable for life, then they will make some, they will interject, and they won't allow abortion unless it's a danger to the woman's health. Like, if it's protecting at that point, they're more leaning towards protecting the mom than the fetus. But once it hits the trimester part, then the state will interfere to protect potential life and try to save the mom's life as well.
So what do you agree with that process?
I agree with that idea because it's open to everybody. It's giving everybody options and time. You know, this is a heavy choice that you can never rush into it. So it gives just people options to process things and just kind of go on their decision.
Yeah, I like that.
So we talked about how, you know, you try to advocate for a lot of different people. But I'm wondering, just, like, more specifically, what has you interested in women's rights in general?
Well, I characterize myself as an anti-oppressor. So anytime I see oppression on any front, if it's women's rights who been, you know, oppressed for such a long time after equality was given, you know, women's rights, you know, I just, the love that I have for women is just to a level of equality. Like, everyone has a mom. So we all know how it feels to love a woman. And we come from a woman. So I feel like there's somewhere along the way, people lost that idea that respecting a woman should be natural. Some people started oppressing with hate, you know, like, you're not equal to me, or you're worth less than a human, you know, because people of color come into play and their rights were oppressed even far more. So definitely I stand with all those people. I want to be an ally and do my part, because I can no longer just stand on the side and just watch.
Yeah. So this is a question for either of you to answer, but I don't think I'm like caught up in like the history of women's rights and why we started to be treated differently. But do either of you guys know like why women just started to become like lower than men, and why that like stuck around?
I would believe it started somewhere way back in the day, where, you know, if you read the scriptures, like, it does say women came from a man, and perhaps they took that the wrong way to where they're worth less. And it's, you know, definitely when things get wrapped around hate, you know, oppression happens, and you know it just kind of just continues until people start standing up for their rights.
Yeah. I mean, I guess just over time, like, women quickly became like the cooks and the caregivers to the family, so I guess that just kind of stuck. And it's crazy to me that that's still, even in modern day, that's still how women are seen, which is so crazy to me. Like, in 2020, that's still like that.
So naturally, like, because women, they give birth to the children, and like, childbirth is not an easy thing. And then on top of that, you have to make sure the kids are getting nurtured. And like, throughout history, like, women have to breastfeed, have all that stuff, that nourishment, and men had to hunt, and they would have to go off for a long time to gather food, gather all this for their tribes, and build up and go to war and battle and do all of that. And so over time, like, that was like a natural cost. And I believe in like the 70s, I want to say, the 70s, 80s, 90s, those times were when like women were starting to step a little bit more out of that boundary and say, hey, I want to work, I want to do these things. And then they started entering more and more into the work field. And so when that influx started, the workforce didn't really know how to handle or deal with that. And so what they did is, that was when women started being viewed as less in, you know, the workspace, for all say. But even with like basically voting and things like that, like, that was all like a white male thing to do. You know, they were the one, especially in America anyways, they're the one that does that. In fact, in a ton of other countries right now, women don't even have the right to like wear whatever they want to wear or you know, do things like that. And so I feel like it, with the role that a woman plays in society as a whole, like, I feel that men being the alpha because of the battles, because of providing and things like that, I think overall they started just stepping on women's rights, and women's right wasn't even a thing to bring up with. And now that we're being more quote unquote woke, like, you can clearly see the difference between, you know, the rights that women have and the rights that men have. And it's like, wow, there's a huge gap there, you know, like, what's going on here? And then the awareness is starting more and more. And I think I want to say in like 2031, so basically 10 years from now, I think you'll see more and more actions from women and more rights being given to them. Well, rights that were already there for them, but kind of covered up. You know, like, they have the rights, but not really. So more so, you're going to see they actually have those rights, and like, they're not going to be looked down on in the workplace or like taken advantage of in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see, you know, the changes and to see where the different roles go.
No, you're right. I'm excited too, because, you know, there's a lot more allies coming out. There's more people speaking on this. Just like right now what we're doing, you know, you have opened up your platform for this, for people to hear our voices, because, you know, it's just such a real issue that, you know, it's no longer, like, silence is no longer an ally. Like, we have to speak up for everybody, you know? We're all equal, and we deserve, you know, equal opportunity.
Yeah, and well, I mean, the generation that's, like, leaving high school right now, man, I have a feeling they're going to make some changes in this world for sure. Like, they are very strong-spoken people, and they care about changing society for the better, which I'm stoked to see them just go into the workforce and just, like, make change. I really believe in this upcoming generation. I actually kind of want to touch on something. Like, this is kind of a little bit out there, just since we were talking about this and how women, like, aren't seen as, like, the workers or anything. I definitely know quite a few women in my life who, they are, people make assumptions that they are lesbian because they're hard workers and they, like, want to go make money for their family, and, like, they maybe want to not dress like the typical lady, you know, like, they don't like dresses, they don't like heels, they don't like makeup. And I guess I just wanted to bring this up because, like, people who are really close to me have had to deal with this, and it's hard. It's hard being, like, it's hard hearing people tell you who you are when, like, they don't even know you, and it's not who you are. And it's just crazy to me, because since we're talking about women and, like, trying to be equal, like, it's crazy that even just down to what we wear and or what we decide that we want to be called, like, by our name or something, that can also be brought down. Like, we're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's a lot of things that still need to, you know, we're getting there as a society. You know, we're trying to be more open-minded, more considerate to women. And it's going to be a daily battle, because the other side is just right there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, for one, am, like, stoked about the change. I'm like, if my wife wants to go and work and I stay home with the kids, I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Oh, man. So what do you guys think, like, the main problem is that's stopping us from reaching that other side? Because I agree. I think that we're so close, you know, like, we are making progressions. And I really do think, like, within the next 10 years, like, I think that there will be some definite change. But what do you think are, like, the main things? Is it just because, like, we're just so used to women being, like, a certain way, and it's just weird seeing that change? Or what do you think?
Well, if we're still talking about the, like, abortion, like, yeah, definitely, we're definitely all moving towards a more progressive state. You know, definitely more changes are coming where they're going to give women more freedom and liberty to equality. Definitely, we're all moving forward. I feel like currently the biggest issue would just be, it's more of a conservative hold. Like, it's just something that's been going on for so long, you know, way before we were even on Earth, that it's just something that we all kind of have to unlearn and accept others.
Something I just thought about, besides from the abortion, but more into, like, women's rights as far as, like, or women's role in the workplace and things like that, I feel like, now I think about, there's a lot of jobs out there that, not necessarily that women can't do, but it's just, like, it's just harder for them to do so. Because some of them, you put your, like, guys, for instance, will put themselves in, like, you know, weird situations where you like go into like, for me as an alarm technician, I go into guys' house, I go into houses that I have no idea who I'm walking into their house, right? And some of them are some off the books, interesting, weird people. And like, I can only see like, and that's why all the only, I don't know any girls installing alarm systems. I'm sure there are a few, but I don't see a whole lot of them in my field. But if you, I could only imagine me, if I was a girl and going into these houses that have no idea, you know, who these people are, it could, and I work pretty late sometimes, and so I'm just like, it could be kind of weird. But I think there are a lot of roles like that in society when it comes to work that causes, you know, women to not be able to occupy those jobs. And so I think that could be a reason.
Well, also with that too is being a woman is a lot scarier than being a man because we have so much that we have to fear. Literally, like just walking to our car, even if it's in the middle of the day, that's scary. Most of us have our keys poking out through our knuckles so that if somebody attacks us or like we're ready to like hit them in the throat, you know, like we're.
Is that a thing?
It is. It like literally girls just know to do that. We have to be prepared for somebody to harm us because we're women and we're targets. So I think that's also why it's kind of scary. Girls probably don't choose a lot of professions that they have to be like alone with, you know, stranger men, because it's legitimately scary. You just don't like being a girl is just scary. You can't travel by yourself without being afraid. You can't walk to your car at night without being afraid. Like we're always in the back of our heads. We are always thinking of how we're going to get out of a scary situation.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's super more dangerous to be a female. And I feel like that's the harsh reality. Like, that's the reality we're living in. And that's why, you know, I'm going to do everything in my influence to become an ally and support women as much as possible. Because the oppression is there. The facts are there. And we need to stand up for our brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Well, yeah. I appreciate that a lot. So is there anything that you have in mind that you like want to take action on your part to be able to help? Like, have you attended any like peaceful protests on this or like anything like that?
Definitely. I do see myself being more of an advocate. So when, you know, and it's in the small habits within friendships, circles, family members, that is just something they're maybe casually kind of numb to, where it's just a history of how women are more, you know, should be in the kitchen, things like that. Like when I hear those type of things, I try to cut it off. I try to like influence them, educate them that no, that's not the reality. That's those are sex gender roles that shouldn't be there. And I'm just like, instead of going in at them like in an attack mode, I go into them with a more of a trying to educate mode.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, I have a question for you. So I was raised around the Latino community and like my mom's half Spanish. And like for Spanish women, I feel like Hispanic women, I feel like their role is more defined so than like some other cultures. Like I feel like there's this thing where it's like you belong in the kitchen kind of thing. Like the male come home and they're like, where's my food kind of thing. That's just what I've seen, and I could be wrong, but that's kind of what I've seen. Is that something that you see too in your culture, or is it, I don't know.
Definitely. I did like experience that growing up, and it almost felt like that was like the normal thing. But then I remember visualizing a family member that I had who treated his woman so beautifully. Like he never let her wash the dishes. He would do it himself. So he started like breaking these rules where he started like helping her out by overextending and like treating her like a queen. And I was like, I thought that was the most beautiful thing I've ever saw. So I was like, that's what I want, you know? And that's what I want to spread and stop those old traditionary, like, you know?
Yeah, because it's literally worldwide that this is, you know, it's not just in this area of the world, like it's everywhere that this is just normal, that women are, they're cooks, they're like home people, and they keep everything clean and neat. And so I know that we have a third topic that we want to talk on, but before we move forward, I just want to see if there's anything else that you want to make sure that we talk about within abortion and like feminism.
Yes, of course. Definitely, I wanted to say maybe this was unknown to me until today, that feminism was actually a movement started by Black women and was picked up by white women, where they did have some more power, so they were able to run with the movement and take it over to where they advocated for women's rights. However, at that time, they didn't advocate for women of color's rights. So yes, women got the right to vote June 4, 1919. And then women of color got to be able to vote 1965.
Dang.
You know, my research and people that I've outreached, I definitely was informed that that movement was started with Black women because they've been oppressed the most. So, and because white women at that time had more privilege, they were able to advocate for themselves. However, Black women specifically weren't able to vote until 1965.
Wow, that is such a huge gap. I don't even know why I'm surprised by that, because, you know, especially everything that I learned from this year, like that. But still, wow. I did not know that either. I didn't know that it was started by a Black woman.
Dang, that was 60 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Just about, like, 55 years ago.
Wow. That's insane. I'm glad that you brought that up.
That definitely I want to just mention, you know?
Yeah. I think that's important to just, like, for anyone listening, I think that's just important to, like, realize that that's, like, the time frame, and like that's what happened, you know.
Definitely when it comes to feminism, for some reason, in the society that we live in, for some reason it's almost seen down upon to talk about it when you're a male, like with your other male friends. Like, they just kind of find it, like, they joke about it and they casually just downplay it. And this is why I'm speaking on this topic even more, because I see, like, it's almost a very natural response to push this topic down. Like, feminism isn't about them being worth more than men. No, they're just still trying to get equal rights, like, you know. And, you know, it's crazy the level of oppression that's out there.
Yeah, no, when I was reading, I wanted to do like a little bit of research before this, and there was a term that came about, I can't remember what year it was, but it is called meninism, like feminism, but men who support like women's rights. And it just became like a laughing stock on social media and like online, and so it's not really used anymore. But yeah, like it's like what you're saying, like any men who like openly support women's rights, like, it's just people laugh at them, you know. It's like, why would you support women's rights, you know? Like, you're a man, just enjoy it.
Jeez.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and thank you again, guys.
Yeah, no, of course. Anything else before we move on?
No, I'm good now, thanks.
Okay. So I am really glad that I have another person that wants to talk about Black Lives Matter, just because, you know, like, we just need to keep talking about it. And it's definitely good for me to talk about, too. I can always learn more and more. But first, just to kick it off, just want to ask, like, what do you think about this year and everything that happened around Black Lives Matter?
So this definitely, what I've been thinking about is that there's just such a tragic reality that we live in, that a lot of people have become numb to it. Like, it shouldn't feel like something that we're used to. Like, this is crazy that the idea of a fear of, you know, Black people were from, that comes from hate, you know, that shouldn't exist and it's not normal. But a lot of people, it's out there and it's happening on a daily basis. So like, as hard as this topic is to talk about it, that's why we need to talk about it, because, you know, we need to advocate for our brothers and sisters.
Definitely. Yeah, it's another one of those topics that I'm really glad that everything happened this year based around this, because it really just opened the eyes of people who didn't really think about it. So really, like, white people who just were so consumed in their own life. And not even like selfish white people, but like, let's face it, like, we just don't realize some of these things. And so I think it's so good that all of this awareness was brought up so that we can like really do like a check on our lives and see like, and realize the difference, you know, and how we can help that situation moving forward. And it's the same thing. Like, I really do think that we'll be able to progress in this, but it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of education, and like, we can't stop, you know, like, we have to keep going.
Yeah, it's true.
You're right. We got to keep that momentum going. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Angel. Sorry.
No, you're good. When I think about Black Lives Matter, I like to think about Black women in this whole thing, because a lot of the media portrays, like, you see Black men being hauled out of cars by police officers, or Black men getting hauled off to jail and stopped and all this. But I like to think of, like, Black women, especially since we were talking about women's rights. Man, Black women have had it hard. Like, I don't actually think a lot of people put focus on that, but Black women have it really tough, because not only are they Black, but they're also women. And so their rights are being blocked on all ends. And, you know, a lot of like Black women get looked down upon by society because of how they were raised and how they turn out, and like, you know, how they raise their kids. And there's just one big cycle of like, just this like hatred slash like not patronizing, but they put them down, you know. Mm-hmm. And like, I think Black women are some of the hardest and strongest mentally, you know, strong people that I've ever met. And like, I just think they deserve so much more credit than they actually are given. Especially the Black women that like go on to achieve great, amazing things, like the vice president now, you know, like, I'm just like, wow, she has been through quite a bit, and like, to persist and like go through all of that crap that's there, and like, to make it as far as she's done. Like, can we say that no women have gotten to that point? And to have a Black woman push past through all those boundaries that, you know, built to oppress her and make it in that role, I am just blown away. I think it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. And I just want to take the time to congratulate her, because that's an accomplishment that's going to change, that made history. Like, I remember her saying, she is the first Black woman vice president, but she definitely won't be the last. So we're definitely getting to that level of progressiveness. And like you said, maybe in 10 years, there will be so much more change. And it's just a daily battle that we're just going to have to battle.
Yeah, like, that is like a huge win for the Black community. Like, that is just so, so cool. I'm so proud of, like, that made me actually for a moment, like, proud of America. Like, for so long, well, especially with, like, when Trump was in office, like, I just was very disappointed to be from America. Like, I just, like, when I traveled overseas, I never wanted anybody to know that I was from here. But when the elections, when we got the results, I was like, you know, I actually am, like, proud of this nation. Like, we just, like, made that change. Like, that's going to be a huge change. And I, like, I think you're right. Like, I don't think it's going to be the last of it. So with all of this,
sorry, it's not the Rona.
So
he said it's not the Rona.
It's not the Rona.
So there, this year was interesting, with all like the riots and the protests and everything circulating around social media. I know that a lot of people had to step back from social media because it was just so much, like every time they opened their phone. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on like the power of social media and being able to, like, I think it can do good by spreading information, but like, I also know it's just affected so many people negatively. So what are your thoughts on that?
I definitely do believe social media has so much power, the power to influence, the power to demonstrate and have a platform to represent of who you are and what you stand for. You know, it has so much purpose, and we have to use it in the form that we're advocating for someone, you know, we're helping someone. I do think it was a lot that we went through this year that definitely affected a lot of people's mental health. Even I also had to take a step back and recover from that, because it affected people to where they were seeing oppression and hate vividly every day on their social media feed. And that's something we're just not used to seeing it so openly. So it was so much that it made everyone start like to reflect, like, this is actually the reality. This is actually happening. You know, it's something that we don't want to believe, but once we were portrayed on it, definitely everyone just kind of had to take a step back and accept that that's reality. And how are we going to go about it? What change do we want to make? You know, definitely I had to recover from it and just kind of process it so deeply and be able to come back with my peace, protected, and be able to spread, you know, good information.
Yeah, I always say on my Instagram for this brand, especially during that time, that, you know, like, it's great that you can just go to social media and get pretty much any information that you want on the news, but take it in doses, you know? Like, I think it's so great that everybody was so passionate about making a change and making sure that voices were heard. But it is a lot, because literally there was nothing else being posted. It was just that. And it's, yeah, I just, like, my advice is just to, like, take it in doses. Like, don't overwhelm yourself. And I just think during that time, it was really hard for people to stop scrolling. Like, you just find yourself in, like, this deep, deep hole of, like, scary stuff. And it's hard to stop looking at it. As much as you, like, want to stop, it's so hard to stop scrolling.
Yeah.
I'm actually impressed that social media and, like, how, if you look at 4 years ago, the election, young people didn't care at all. Like, we were just like, all right, whatever, Trump's going, like, I really don't like this guy, but I really don't care that much, blah, blah, blah. And then you fast forward to this year, and with social media and everything, you really start to see the mindset of the upcoming generation with the marches, the protests, the information that they're putting out there. You really started to really get an identity of what the new generation's gonna be. And I just was blown away, because I'm like, dang, social media is really exposing us. Gary Vee, he's one of my favorite speakers, and he's just like, social, like, technology and all of this, social media isn't a bad tool. It just exposes the truth for what it is. And so if you're a bad person, then social media, or, you know, the progress of technology, it's going to expose you for who you are. And so it's not that the social media is bad. It's exposing the bad for what it is and the good for what it is. And I think we did really good this year with using social media to, you know, help the good side and rid the world of, you know, one less bad thing.
That's true. Yeah. And a lot of people, too, that are, like, artists. There were so many people who do, like, graphic design and, like, artwork and photography that like use their talents during that time, which I thought was so cool to see it. Like such beautiful paintings and designs. It was just so cool to scroll through and see all these like beautiful pieces of art of Black people. It was just so cool to see. That was like one part that I just thought was like a huge light on social media, was just people putting all their like passion and like what they do best into like trying to spread like positive messages. I thought that was just so cool.
Something else that was pretty interesting is like a lot of the Black people that died in 2020 made such a big impact on the world, like the death of Kobe Bryant, Chadwick Boseman's death. Like, it was shocking. Like, a lot of people were like, whoa, like, it really showed that, like, you know, Black people really do bring something to the table. And
definitely.
Yeah. For some reason, you know, I've been on this topic, I've been going over in my mind, is like, what happens after, you know, our life ends, right? I accept that that's the end. I feel like, you know, maybe that's where our legacy begins. You know, what were we known for? What did we stand up for? What were we remembered for? And I feel like those are the things that empower us to become a good person now and do all these good things now, because, you know, that's no one can escape that. You know, it's just part of life. So we want to make the best of it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I mean, the only comment I have to say is I'm really glad that you decided to do this podcast with us. I know Staria said that you reached out, but really I reached out to you. And and the reason I did that is just because, like, from watching your Instagram and kind of seeing the person that you are, it's just really cool to see like how you carry yourself, and you know, and that you're always there to stand up for different causes. And I just wanted to dive in. I told Style, yeah, he's definitely gonna have some good stuff to say about, you know, I just want to dive into this guy's mind more and kind of understand what is going on in there, and you know, what are some things that you're thinking about. And so I'm really glad that you hopped on with us. And even now, like, I just gotta say that it took a lot out of Javi to come on and, you know, and expose himself like this for his thoughts and stuff, and to talk with us. And I remember part of it, he was like, I don't know about this, but look, I just hear him now and he's just killing it. And he really has a voice for the people. So I'm loving it. I'm loving that you pushed yourself, bro. And I'm loving that you're just getting stronger and stronger, because you're not allowing yourself to be limited.
Thank you for that, man. Like, I definitely have to say, you're someone I look up to. You know, you're a good soul that I can vividly see. Like, it's someone who reaches out to people and people have just good things to say about you. And that's definitely where I want to align myself to. Like, I look forward to being more of a good person as you are. You know, we have spotted each other out in this world that we live in, and I feel like we're walking together towards the same purpose.
Absolutely.
I feel blessed to have you guys as my best friends, you know, someone I can always talk to about these topics.
Well, you know, we're always there. And for any other topic, like talk about traveling or whatever, you know, like, when you told me you got your girl, bro, and like you guys, you know, are going pretty good, I was stoked. I'm like, that's awesome, bro.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Dang. Okay. Well, before we wrap this up, I just wanted to end with you giving some sort of piece of advice or wisdom for our audience today.
Yes, of course. So definitely, I want to say everybody should keep their chins up, you know, keep going. This is the battle that, you know, our ancestors and us and our future generation are going to continue to battle. So let's just set the example. I know it's difficult, but this is why we need to stand up for it, because it's going to be the best for everyone else. And, you know, love will always prevail. Hate will never defeat love. and we have to show it through example.
I love that. That was awesome. Well, thank you for everybody who joined in on this week's episode. This was such a, oh my gosh, this was so great to record. I feel like I learned a lot, very eye-opening, and I'm grateful that Javier and Angel, you both, you know, opened up and shared your opinions today and your thoughts. You guys are just, you know, such great people. Like, wow, I just need to be more like you guys. But yeah, don't forget to tune in next week for another awesome episode. I'm so grateful for all of you guys that listen and follow on Instagram. And yeah, thank you so much, guys. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Thank you, guys. I love you guys.